Hello, my name's Jamie Irwin and I host the podcast What's Your Favourite on the Creative Control Network. Join me as I ask a different guest each week about all their favourite things. Favourite band, film, song, food, drink, animal, season, TV show, book, and much more. You can find What's Your Favourite with Jamie Irwin by searching on all your favourite podcast apps. So subscribe today and check out what might be your new favourite podcast, What's Your Favourite. Did I just say the word favourite enough times? Yeah.
Are you paying more money in interest than you need to on your credit cards? Refinance your debt today with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. You can quickly roll balances from multiple credit cards into one single monthly loan payment. Get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay, much lower than the national average credit card rate of over 19% APR. Plus, there are absolutely no fees. The application is quick and easy and is 100% online. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. LightStream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. And with all that's been going on with the pandemic, with people losing work or losing hours or having their hours scaled back or even being forced to stay at home and having no idea how their bills are going to get paid, trust me that finding out about LightStream right now, it couldn't possibly be a better time. I know that after Christmas and I had been trying to consolidate my debt for a few months into 2019, but I kind of felt like I had reached a dead end. And it was around then that LightStream actually reached out to me to come aboard Creative Control as a sponsor. So I was intrigued. I checked out the site. It seemed to be exactly what I was looking for. I applied. I was approved. And within a couple of days, I was consolidating my debt and fixing up my credit just as I wanted to. And it couldn't have gone better. It couldn't have been easier. You know, at first look, everything on the site seemed too good to be true. But ultimately, it was all true. LightStream is so easy, quick, and convenient. Personally, I wish I would have found out about it sooner, and I 1,000% recommend it to everyone. And now's the time to check it out. Check out LightStream and apply today to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. And the only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/creative. LIGHTSTREAM.com/creative. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% autopay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/creative for more information. Ain't It Fun next. You said earlier that it was one of your least favorite GNR songs ever.
Yeah.
Not, what's the deal?
I just don't like it. I hated it. I remember, maybe it was because it was the first single, it was the first thing I heard from this. I was like, God, this sucks.
Kind of slow, doesn't go anywhere.
It's just not good.
I liked it a lot when I was young, I think just because of the rebellious nature of the lyrics and everything. I thought it was awesome, but as years have gone by, it doesn't get too much play. The Dead Boys originally performed the song. And I'm going to pick the Dead Boys on this one. I heard it for the first time today, as a matter of fact, and immediately downloaded it. And definitely prefer it. Tough to pinpoint why. Again, maybe it's just the same thing I said about like Raw Power, where Guns can make certain songs their own, and then this it just sounded like a bad cover. I don't know. And just hearing the original just didn't work for me as well as it once did. So going against GNR on this one, going with the Dead Boys.
Yeah, for me it's a push. I hate both versions of the song. So nobody wins. Nobody loses.
Two thumbs down. Yeah,
they both suck.
The next one is interesting. Because I didn't know what the fuck was going on when I heard it. I didn't know what was going on for years, apparently. I knew it was some kind of amalgamation of two songs, and one's by Soundgarden, and I was like, what the fuck is this? And it's just, I know when you look at a lot of these websites, they have, like, they rank every Guns N' Roses song, like, 1 to 103, or however many goddamn songs they have. And Buick McCain is always, like, at the bottom. And I was always like, what, this fucking song rocks. What are you talking about? And then I revisited it, and I was like, you know what, this is kind of fucking stupid. The Buick McCain portion of the song is originally a T-Rex song, and then it morphs into Big Dumb Sex, or Big Dumb, or whatever. I couldn't even find it, which is a Soundgarden song written by Chris Cornell. And it's fine and all, but it's, to me, it kind of sums up this album, which is, it's just mediocre. The whole thing's pretty much mediocre. I guess they were just fulfilling a contract or whatever to put this out, but... even still, listening to both original versions, I'll pick the GNR version. That they combine these two songs into one, Buick McCain, over the two originals. I thought the original Buick McCain sounded very, very goofy. And then the Big Dumb Sex by Soundgarden. It's just a piece of crap no matter who. It's fucking stupid. So, but I guess maybe I'm more familiar with the Guns version. Maybe that's why I went and chose it. But I would have to go with Guns N' Roses on this one, even if it's not a perennial favorite.
Just like the Dolls, I got this album, T-Rex's The Slider, in 1993, and I became a huge T-Rex fan. I love all their stuff. So I'm going to go with the T-Rex version.
T-Rex. What else does T-Rex have? Oh, Get It On. I'm looking at
it. Get It On. Bang. Gotcha. Yeah. Get It On. My favorite song by T-Rex is Metal Guru. That's the first song on this album.
Mm. And they were, are they still around? What was their deal?
No, same thing. Mark Bolan, the singer, he died, I think, late 70s, maybe early 80s. But yeah, he died. So,
had you heard the Soundgarden version of Big Dumb?
I had not heard it then, but because it's not on the first album, Bad Motorfinger.
Yeah,
it's on one of their like earlier albums. So, I don't think I had it back then, but I've heard it since then.
Those guys always toured together back in the day, especially in '91. And I know that Axl's always been on record as a huge Cornell fan. Was it 92?
Yeah, Skid Row was in '91.
'91, yeah.
And then when they played that Paris pay-per-view, Soundgarden opened.
Right, right.
They were on the pay-per-view.
And then by '93, they had exploded on their own anyway. So
yeah.
But he was always a big fan of Cornell, and I mean, Soundgarden's all right. I don't know. I never got huge into Cornell. I have friends that were, even through his solo efforts and all that shit, or Audio Slave, and he's just never my guy, really. Not that he wasn't talented, but... Hair of the Dog, Nazareth. I like both versions of the song very much. A younger version of myself may or may not have done a very mean vocal impersonation of the song and cover with a band. What the fuck were, I can't even remember what they were called. I'd have to think about that, but it was probably like 15 years ago at this point. I was just stepping on for one song. I was in the bar. People knew I was there. This band was playing. The bar owner was like, hey, you want to do a song? Oh, yeah, sure. They're like, well, what do you know? What do you do? I was like, I don't know. Do you know any fucking Guns N' Roses songs? They're like, sort of. Can you do Hair of the Dog? I was like, yep, let's do that. And one of the few times that my normally ball-busting friends were unanimous, like, wow, did you fucking practice that? No, didn't practice that at all. So compliments sometimes with your buddies are so few and far between that you remember shit like that, you know? Yeah. But I like Nazareth, and I like their version, but to me, GNR won me over with their version. To me, it's their fucking song. They did such a good version of it. I'm going to go with GNR on Hair of the Dog.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, both versions are amazing. The Guns N' Roses one's really faithful to the original. It's pretty much the same, you know. They didn't do anything really different on it, but
yeah.
I think it's just perfect for Axl's voice. It's amazing.
To step back a minute, did you know that there was a rumor that one of the first new, quote-unquote, Guns N' Roses releases since Slash and Duff were back was going to be on some sort of tribute album, and it was going to be a T-Rex song?
Yeah.
What was it called? Something, the Youth, what the fuck was it?
Oh, Children of the Revolution?
That's what it was, yeah. Children of the Revolution. They're supposed
I've
to be
covered that, too. Yeah, my old band covered Children of the Revolution.
There's supposed to be a cover that people have heard that was supposed to be on. Maybe it was a T-Rex tribute album. I don't know what exactly it was, but it's never surfaced, of course. So, but for some reason, Nazareth made me think of that. Next up, Attitude. As we mentioned, Duff loves to cover this song. I can't imagine like when he came back and opened for GNR back in 2011 with Loaded. He was touring again with Loaded at that point, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's toured with Loaded many years.
So I'm sure people were happy to see Duff no matter what. And all right, he's playing the Loaded songs that great, but that's great. But the second he plays Attitude or New Rose, I'm sure it was like fucking huge pop time. You know, oh shit, he's playing a Guns N' Roses song. But it was originally by the Misfits. And again, being that it was a Duff song, I kind of thought, well, I'll probably like the original better. I did not like the original better whatsoever. Was not a fan of it at all. Got to go with the GNR version of Attitude.
Yeah, same thing like the Dolls and T-Rex. Like once I heard Attitude was a Misfits song, I think I knew the Misfits before because Metallica covered Green Hell and Last Caress on their cover album Garage Days back in 87. But so I knew about the Misfits, but this made me actually go out and buy Misfits albums. And I became a huge fan of them back then. But I will pick the Guns N' Roses version. Mm. The Misfits version just sounds terrible. Like a lot of their stuff sounds horrible. There's one or two albums, like I think Walk Among Us is like the best sounding album the Misfits did, but some of their stuff just sounds so bad and it's almost unlistenable. But they made such great songs, so I wish they just were recorded better. So I'm gonna pick Guns N' Roses.
Former WCW Nitro stars, the Misfits.
Yeah.
Yep. Do you know that one guy from the Misfits, I can't remember which one, but he's the reason he broke up Randy Savage and Gorgeous George? It may have been Jerry Only. Yeah.
Really? Because I don't see that guy breaking up any women or any couples.
Must have had the gift of gab, or the 25-year-old girl was tired of being with the 50-year-old guy. I don't know, one or the other.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've read about that a few times, that the guy thought Savage was going to fucking kill him. May have. You never know if he would have got his hands on him. So, yeah, I got to go with the GNR version on that. This is interesting. Black Leather, you look it up and it says, well, it was performed. I knew Steve Jones wrote it. And then on the Wikipedia here, it says The Professionals. And then I looked them up, and The Professionals was like a Sex Pistols spinoff.
Yeah.
But anytime I looked up Black Leather on YouTube, it just came up that the Sex Pistols sang it. So I'm very confused on who actually performed this song. Maybe there was a Sex Pistols version and this Professionals, whoever the fuck.
I don't think there was ever a Sex Pistols version. I think
really
for some reason it just gets attributed to the Sex Pistols. But
so it is the Professionals.
They never recorded it. As far as I know, Steve Jones wrote it, and it was a Steve Jones song or a solo band, you know, solo project song. So
didn't he work with Duff later or something like that?
Yeah, they were in Neurotic Outsiders together in 1996, him and Matt Sorum, and I think the bass player from Duran Duran.
Are you going to read Matt Sorum's book?
I will, definitely. I'm going to try to get him on the show.
Could happen.
I don't think it'll happen, but I will try.
I'll try, and then I'll get him on, and you'll know my true feelings, but on the show, I'll be like, man, let me tell you. Use Illusion DVDs, you're drumming.
Yeah.
Anyway, Anyway, so it was a group called The Professionals with Steve Jones, kind of a Sex Pistols spinoff from what I read. And although this is it's kind of like a brooding, slow pace. I don't know. It's not a party song. It's not a good driving song. I still have always liked it. It was one of my favorite songs off the album. I'm gonna go with this the other version, The Professionals. I heard it today. It's just better. It's just better than the Guns N' Roses version. That version sounds fucking mailed in compared to the original.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing. I wish they would have done like a regular Sex Pistols song. Not Anarchy in the UK. Motley Crue did that. Megadeth's done that. But I wish they would have chosen another song off the Sex Pistols album.
I'm a Pretty Vacant fan.
Yeah. Pretty Vacant. I think Velvet Revolver covered... no, I think they did Bodies. Mm. Velvet Revolver used to do Bodies live.
Did not see them. Saw STP post... or maybe they hadn't broken up yet. I forget what the timeline was, but... I saw Weiland at the performing with STP during their first like reunion tour and felt like a traitor the whole time I was there. But so you're going to go with the Professionals as well, not Guns N' Roses.
Yep.
Yeah. You Can't Put Your Arms Around a Memory. I discovered the song through Guns N' Roses, but you know it's a Johnny Thunders song, and then you find that it's in like fucking 50 movies or TV shows that you've seen. It just shows up all the time, and pretty popular song.
It doesn't pay to try. All the smart boys know why. It doesn't mean I didn't try. I just never know why.
And when they go, they let you know. You can't put your arm around a memory. You can't put your arm around a memory.
Gotta go with Johnny Thunders on this. It's just my personal preference, but Duff's singing voice, I just don't like it. It's not for me. I wouldn't be caught dead listening to a solo album. But again, if I have the chance to have him on the show, you're going to hear something completely different.
Yeah.
Your solo album is great, man. Wow, it's really changed my perspective, Duff. Holy shit. God damn it. But no, I would go with the Johnny Thunders version of this, though. I did see Duff do at least a portion of it in Philly and was quite pleased with that.
Yeah. This song was originally recorded for Duff's solo album that came out in 93. So there's nobody else from Guns N' Roses playing on this song. It's Duff and a bunch of other guys.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
I didn't remember that from looking at the notes or whatever when I was a kid, but it's interesting. I think the most interesting thing about Duff's... You a fan of Believe in Me?
Oh, it's one of my favorite albums of all time. I love that album so much. That album got me through, I think, my sophomore year.
I think same difference. Like, I just don't like his voice. So I guess I was such an Axl loyalist, like that or the Snake Pit never would have gone over with me anyway, you know. But I remember reading, and I read it back in the day, and I'm sure he covered it in one of his books as well, that he really wanted Prince to work on a song with him, and it just never got done. And that sounds like one of the most intriguing collaborations that possibly could occur, you know. It just seems so different. But, yeah, I'll go with Johnny. You're going with the Duff version?
No, I'm going to go with the Johnny Thunders version. Mm-hmm. There's the movie about the bass player from the New York Dolls that they did the reunion, and then he died right afterward. It's called New York Doll. If it's streaming anywhere, I highly recommend it. It's a really sad story about the guy. He's got, like, you can tell he's got some mental problems, but somehow they managed to play that one reunion show, and then he passed. But the opening montage of the movie, it's got this song.
Yeah.
This song is, like, perfect for movies. What else have you heard of them?
Closing episode of The Sopranos. I think it was in Bringing Out Your Dead with Nicolas Cage. There's others. I just can't think of them off the top of my head. But I know I've heard it, like, a lot, you know. And it's always funny to hear, because you know that whoever the music, you know, puts the music in the movies or selects, or I know David Chase is a big music guy. And I'm like, of course he would know this song and Johnny Thunders, you know?
Yeah.
This episode of Creative Control Daily is sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Well, now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. If you could benefit from more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. And Blue Chew is prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor's office or wait in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy, which means no awkwardness and you don't have to leave the house. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code CREATIVE. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code CREATIVE, to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring Creative Control Daily. And remember, when you support our sponsors, you help make this podcast possible, so please be sure to use our promo code CREATIVE at BlueChew.com.
Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through.
For over 10 years, Shane Hurricane Helms has been a pioneer in the podcast game. And now, the Creative Control Network proudly brings to you the record-breaking, history-making, longest-reigning, most entertaining cruiserweight champion of all time, Shane Hurricane Helms and the Highway to Helms podcast. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever your favorite podcast may be, you'll find me, Shane Hurricane Helms. And if you don't know, Google me. Biatch!
But closing the album, Fears, I Don't Care About You. From what little I know about Fear, they are actually on Saturday Night Live once, which is hilarious. Just a hardcore punk band, and went on SNL and fucking tore it up, and there was, you know, big mosh pits and all that shit, which was a first on the show. I don't know that much more about them other than this song and that performance. And I gave the performance a shot. I thought it would be, I thought I would wind up picking it, and didn't. Going with the GNR version, just because it's Axl just shredding his throat the whole song. It's like, why is he singing like that? Why is he doing that to himself? But so you'll never, ever, ever hear that live, I wouldn't imagine. But the GNR version, it's not a great song, but the GNR version is the one I would pick.
Yeah, I don't know anything else about Fear. I've never heard any of the other songs, but I will choose the Fear version.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it was recorded well. It's not like those Misfit song. It sounds like shit. I think this version sounds really good, the recording, and it's really aggressive, and it's awesome.
If there was, if those guys are more open about interviews and stuff, I'd really like to delve deep. Like, who, how did you narrow, what made these songs the choices? You know, like, I'm sure Axl picked Since I Don't Have You, probably Down on the Farm. You know, Human Being seems up his alley and shit. Then you got your Duff songs. I would go Slash probably picked Black Leather and Buick McCain. Just me guessing, you know, but I would be curious to like who picked the fucking Fear song. Probably Duff, I guess. Probably all of them.
Yeah.
But it closes with something you can't even categorize this as a Guns N' Roses song, because I don't think there's anyone on it but Axl and his fucking brother and like somebody else. I think Slash was rumored to be on it, but he shot that down, you know.
Yeah.
It's a
it's not Paul Tobias? He's not playing guitar in this?
I don't think so. No, okay. It's someone I've never heard of.
And then, no, I think it's a guy named Carlos. Does that sound familiar?
It's been a long time since I saw those notes. That's why I was surprised about the Duff one, too. I didn't remember that. I can...
Personnel. Yeah, Carlos Bowie. B-O-O-Y. Carlos Bowie.
Is that, now, is that a real person or is that fucking Slash?
I doubt it's Slash. I think I remember hearing that they didn't have any idea this was going to be on the album.
Yeah, but I kind of got the feeling that that was to save face. You know, or at least for Slash to save face. Like, he didn't realize. I remember hearing a quote from him like, well, the money's going to the dead, you know, the families of the dead people or whatever. And like, he kind of brushed it off. And then later he really washed his hands of it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The only person that knows is the guys that were in the room, really. Look at Your Game, it's, Girl. It's a Charles Manson cover.
love's not enough. If and you can't be true, oh, you can't tell those lies, baby, but you're only fooling you. Can you feel, are those feelings real? Look at your game, girl.
I don't know where someone would have discovered this before, like, today. Of course, you can hear it on YouTube, but who, I don't know who had the Charles Manson bootlegs back then.
Just to say your love's not enough. If on you can't be true, you can't tell those lies, baby, but you're only fooling you. Can you feel, are those feelings real? Look at your game, girl.
I had never heard of it, I don't know. I'll go with the GNR or the Axl version, whatever you want to call it, just because the singing's pretty good. The lyrics are all right, but Manson stinks. I think his version stunk. Like, I don't know. If he was any good, you know, someone would have utilized him, I would think. And this is probably the best of the bunch of his shit that I've heard anyway, and that doesn't really say too much.
Yeah, I'll pick the Axl version. He sounds really good on it.
Yeah.
So
another song probably thrown in last minute, like F you, Stephanie. You know.
Yeah.
But they said years ago that this song was going to be yanked from any new pressings, and that's bullshit, really, because One in a Million still exists on any copy of Lies you ever see. It was supposed to be, we're going to remove One in a Million and Look at Your Game Girl, because he said something like the messages are, he gets misconstrued and all this. We're going to take him off any new pressings, and that never happened.
So. Well, I think that's true. I don't think One in a Million is on any pressings now. It's not on the box set.
Well, it's not on the box set, yeah, but I think, at least in an article I read, like for years, like any new Lies still had it on there. So I don't know if they still do today. I don't know if they still even press CDs.
Yeah,
know?
I mean, how many are they pressing per year?
Yeah.
You know?
But obviously you can get it on your Amazon Prime or probably, you know, your Apple Music, whatever. You can play in a bar, which is, I wouldn't recommend it. But, you know. So, yeah, I would pick the Axl version on that. Actually, what did I wind up with here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8-5, which... some of them leaned both ways. I think it was New Rose I put as a tie at first, and then I ended up voting against it. But it's funny that in such a starved era for GNR music that there is, and I know you'll disagree with this, but there is a collection of fans that say, like, fucking, we don't care, just put out a covers album, put out a covers EP, just put something out. You know, you play enough covers, it wouldn't be that hard. But
yeah.
Being a kid at the time, this was kind of a letdown when it came out. And then, of course, you didn't hear anything for another 15 years.
Yeah, for me, it wasn't a letdown because, you know, Use Your Illusion was still fresh. You know, it was only a year and a half, 2 years at that point. So, and I think, what was the last video?
It was Since I
was,
Don't
Was
Know.
It, no, I mean, from Illusions. Was it
Estranged?
Was it Dead Horse?
Yeah, I think Dead Horse maybe after Estranged.
Yeah, I think Dead Horse or...
Because Estranged came out as a video and Spaghetti Incident was like out. Or on it,
yeah, they kind of, there was a kind of bleed over where you know, one was out, but they were still putting videos out for the other one. So it wasn't like I wasn't like, oh, they wasted a release on this. But you know, we had no idea that we would never see another full length album from the original band again. You know, and then it would be, let's see, 15 years until Chinese Democracy came out.
It's been 12 since now, which is fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, it's funny how long the time in between, you know, Spaghetti Incident and Chinese Democracy felt, and then now it's been 12 since Democracy, and it's kind of just flown by, really, you know, like, at least from my perspective. I mean, maybe because I'm getting older, but they never toured it. They never really performed too many of the songs other than Duff will come out and do a solo spot or Down on the Farm back in the day. It's just like a footnote. I remember I actually saw it in I saw a stack of Spaghetti Incidents in Walgreens just like 5 years ago for like $1.99 a piece. Like, oh, that's funny. Like, this, like, man, imagine like not knowing what it is and just being a random music fan and going, oh, $2, I'll grab it. I'm going, what the fuck is this? I never heard any of these songs in my life.
Yeah. I mean, it's just embarrassing that since 1991, they have not put out, you know, an original album with the original guys.
Yeah,
it's embarrassing. It's a lifetime ago. I was in eighth grade when the last full length album came out of original songs with the original band, and they've been together for 4 years. They've been reunited for 4 years. It's embarrassing.
I don't know what the roadblock is. I mean, I think we can guess, but from what I understand, at this point, they just wanted to tour and make as much money as they could off the catalog. like, we don't need to release new music right now because we're going to make as much money as we can off what we already got. It's not necessary. And when the numbers start dropping, then we drop some new music and tour off of that. But that would just be logic, right? So who knows? There's not a lot of logic in the world of that band. And I know it's an excuse and everything, but we don't know what the coronavirus did to the plans. Supposedly, it screwed the plans up. They were going to be playing Hard School on some of the South American dates. Those have all been postponed and whatever. And I'm sure Europe is right behind it because that's supposed to start next month or whatever, beginning of June. The States in July. And none of these things are probably going to happen. So if their plan was, we're going to tour off this single and then the album comes out in the fall or whatever, you'd have to imagine that that's you know, in some sort of disarray. Who knows what's going to happen with it?
I don't know, man. You look at the career of Slash since he left in 96, whatever, 97.
Yeah.
That's a guy that puts out as many albums as he can.
Yeah.
He's had so many different projects. He's put out probably 8 or 9 different albums under different band names. This is a guy that loves to record and release stuff. Same thing with Duff. Duff has had probably as many projects as Slash. So between the two of them, there's 15 different albums, right?
Mm-hmm.
These are not guys that don't want to release anything. Trust me.
But I think
it's Axl. Axl does not want to put anything out. It's
right,
all
right, or doesn't want to work, or is blocked, or whatever it is. But another thing is, Slash is a guy that loves to tour. But for Slash to tour as Slash, he has to release something. He has to have something to promote. With the Guns N' Roses tour, they don't necessarily have to release anything. They don't have to promote anything because they're torn off the strength of the old releases and the fact that people thought they were never going to see these guys play together again. With Slash, I think recording and releasing for him is more like, I have to do this because I want to get back out on the road. You know, at least just from what I've read about the guy in interviews and whatnot. So, and let's face it, if Guns N' Roses is playing football stadiums, when Slash was releasing, Slash and the Conspirators or whatever the fuck it's called, those guys were playing to 800 to 2,000 people. You know, it's not the same ball game, really. Maybe Slash and Miles Kennedy will do a covers album.
Yeah, they did a few covers. I've seen them a bunch of times.
I remember seeing that whatever release they had, Miles Kennedy doing a version of Rocket Queen. Not for me. But so actually, I'm a terrible host. I didn't keep track of your numbers.
My numbers were 7. Wait, how many songs are there? 12?
13. 13, including Look at Your Game Girl. Yeah.
Yeah, I was 7 originals, 5 Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
Ain't It Fun was a push, so
yeah,
neither one.
Yeah, that one. So. Unsurprisingly, I picked more Guns. I think I figured you might have been more of a dead heat, but I'm not surprised either. And that's our little review there of Spaghetti Incident and picking which tracks are better, the original or the covers. Is there any other GNR covers that you're either fond of or absolutely despise?
I despise The Seeker. You know that.
Yeah.
I fucking hate that song. I don't like The Who. I think The Who is another way overrated band.
Ah.
You know, when people mention The Who in the same sentence as the Beatles and the Stones, I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me?
We're talking about they put out a rock opera. They're geniuses.
Yeah, and I had to see that. I saw that live. Like, I bought into the hype. My friend, I think it was in 96, The Who was touring. They were doing the whole Quadrophenia album. He's like, oh, come with me. We'll go to the show, and it's going to be awesome. So I went to it. They played the entire album. I knew none of the songs, and they played 2 greatest hits at the end.
You know what's funny?
The worst show I ever saw.
Did you hear my interview with Raven way back, like last year, whatever it was?
Probably.
We were talking about concerts, and I'm almost 100% sure he said that was the worst show he ever saw. The Who Quadrophenia.
Yeah, it was awful.
Yeah, yeah. As you know, I'm a big fan of The Seeker. It should be on an album, I think, as a matter of fact, because they've perfected the song. But I mean, when we're talking about songs that GNR kind of winds up owning, or songs that still sound like covers, like, you got to say Live and Let Die is kind of a Guns N' Roses song. Knocking on Heaven's Door, it's been played so many different ways by different iterations of the band. I don't know, but people seem to still want to hear it. A Giant Banana sang it on TV the other night. I don't know if you saw any clips of that.
No.
Bret Michaels was on The Masked Singer as a giant banana, and he was singing Knocking on Heaven's Door, and he was a little Asian guy from The Hangover.
Ken Jeong?
Yeah, so he's singing it, and Ken Jeong's doing this shit. And I'm like, no, that's incorrect. That's Bret Michaels. This is a Guns N' Roses song, right? But I guess he tours with it. But the implication being that he was singing a Guns N' Roses song.
What the fuck?
But he was also a giant banana. So things aren't, I don't know how great things are going for Brett right now, especially with the tour, the big summer tour probably being canceled, no matter what Tommy Lee says.
Yeah. But I love, I love Guns N' Roses did Riff Raff with that, with that scab version of the band.
Yeah.
In the 2000s. I loved Riff Raff. I thought they did a great version. What else?
See, that's one time where I hated a cover because I had been waiting all this time to see them perform Chinese Democracy songs, and they would just insert, like, I would know the set list in my head, and then all of a sudden they would change, like, they would scoop out better, and I'm like, what are they playing? What is this? AC, what the fuck, man? No, 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 no. I don't want to hear this fucking cover. So I was one of those guys for that song, but it eventually grew on me.
Yeah, and they did a whole lot of Rosie way back in the day, and then they did it again with those people.
Yeah, yeah, I became a big fan of that too.
Yeah.
So what do you have on the slate for your May release? Do you know?
I don't know yet. I do know Disco Inferno will be returning for episode 50.
Mm.
That will probably be in May or June, but there's two or three episodes before that. I don't know what they will be.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Steve Covino, he's on the Covino and Rich show on Sirius XM, and he's also on an ESPN show called Now or Never every night on ESPN. I think he will be on the show before episode 50. I've known him for 10 years, and I always feared asking him to come on the show because I don't want to bother him because I know, you know, real radio people, they hate podcasts. Like, if you ever listen to Howard Stern?
Yeah.
He fucking hates podcasts. He totally is demeaning to them.
Yeah, but he's doing a podcast now.
Basically, yeah. That's you know? Basically what it's
he's
turning
basically
into,
so. Using StreamYard.
Yeah. So I always put off asking my friends that have an actual radio show to come on my little podcast. But I think I did ask him, and he's totally into it. So that may be out before episode 50.
It's funny because in the little group DM we have with Husey, he's always like, man, you know, you can get all this material put away. Now's the time to record, and everybody's home, and you should be putting out material and doing this. And it's like, yeah, there's more free time, but there's nothing to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, how many times can we talk about, you know, coronavirus and its impact on income and people? Do we know anyone that died? And, oh, man, we got to stay in the house. Like, it's, I've had that show four times already. So, you know, how many times can you talk about it? But
yeah.
But there's always time to talk about Guns N' Roses. So I want to thank you, Mike Durbin, for coming on discussing 1993 Spaghetti Incident with me. You can catch Mike, of course, on the Mike Durbin Show on the Creative Control Network and ProWrestlingTees.com/Mike Durbin.
Yep, and YouTube.com/Michael Durband. I only have 300 and something subscribers. Husey has like 10,000.
You think it's a click farm?
No, I think Husey's are real.
Well, then right? How come no one listens to the clips or watches the clips?
I know there is a show that definitely uses clip farms.
Well,
we know that for a fact.
Yeah, yeah. Well, perhaps if Husey would take little Hasbro toys and mash them together, he could get 6,000 views or whatever. But no such luck so far. Support for Creative Control Daily is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. You know, I know I'm not alone in this. I think any man listening to this has had an incident where they're trying to do a little trim action, and maybe the clippers slip or the razor slips. Next thing you know, you have something resembling a wound in your crotch area, and that's not what you want. That's the last thing you want. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created, and just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. Their third-generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents. Millions of balls are about to be nick-free thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin-safe technology. Manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. And when I tell you this is premium, I mean premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes so you can take a longer shave. One of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming. They've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show your mower off loud and proud because this intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. So if you're listening to me speak right now, I want you to experience this firsthand for yourself. Trim that junk of yours. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code CCD at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. Once again, you can get 20% off and free shipping with the code CCD at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com by using the code CCD.